The word of God I'd like to share with you this morning, not the one that's printed in the bulletin, but from the letter to the Hebrews in the 12th chapter. You might remember in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, all the Old Testament saints of God were outlined for us and all of the actions of their faith and lives. And then he begins in the 12th chapter by saying this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." This is God's word. Please be seated. So take a look at the picture that's before you on the screen. That's been the background for all of our slides today. You're looking up into the dome of the Hodges Chapel at Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama. Now, there are a lot of beautiful domes in the churches and in the chapels of Christendom. You know, there's the Frederick's Church in Copenhagen. There's the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. St. Andrew's Church in Kiev, the Ukraine, just to name a few. And all of these domes are just spectacular. But to my mind, this dome at the Hodges Chapel has got to be one of the most beautiful. And it's not because the artwork is superior or the intricacy of the artwork is greater. It's probably not. But I like this dome because of the message that is conveyed by the artwork. To look up into this dome is to catch a glimpse of Jerusalem the Golden, where Christ and the angels and all the saints of God dwell together in perfect bliss and peace. The perimeter of this dome, you might notice, features 16 of Christ's more historically notable saints. You know, the ones whose names we remember, among which are the likes of Dr. Martin Luther, who in this picture is at the bottom of the picture, just slightly to the right of center. But what I especially like about this dome is that gold-colored cloud that you see spirals upward toward the center of the dome. Take a closer look at that. And if we could advance the slide so you can get a closer look at that golden cloud. And you see in that cloud the faces of all the unsung saints. People like Ken Showman and Dorothy Reeds. And all of our Christian deceased loved ones who have become now a part of that countless throng gathered around the throne of the Lamb of God, who we just sang form that hallowed frame around the mystery in their midst, the Lamb once sacrificed, the love that wrested life from death, the wounded risen Christ. Can you see your sainted loved ones forming that frame around the throne of the Lamb of God, giving him glory and praise? And what I love about that dome is how it gives you a sense that while those triumphant saints are with Christ in heaven, as we look up to the heavens, and they are up there waiting for us, they are also in a way with us right here and now in this church militant, this church that is still struggling in this world. And there they are, those blessed ones, surrounding us, as Hebrews says, as a great cloud of witnesses. But I don't want you to get the wrong idea about that. Because when the letter to the Hebrews refers to the saints as a great cloud of witnesses, we don't mean to say that they are somehow witnessing our day-to-day lives in a sense that like they are watching us. That's a common belief. For instance, in the Roman Catholic Church, and this was one of the things that the Reformation was against. In the Roman Catholic Church, the saints in heaven are said to mediate the relationship between us and God, as if there's a chasm between us that only a saint can bridge. Also in Catholicism, the saints are said to receive our prayers, as if God won't receive them. And they are also said to believe, they are said to have, these saints in heaven, some of them anyway, are said to have all these extra merits that can be credited to you and give your hope of salvation a bit of a boost just in case you don't have enough merits of your own. And in all these ways, the saints are said to be actively engaged in our lives as if they are watching us. But it's not just in the Roman Catholic theology, it's also in the popular theology that you often hear in funeral parlors. You've heard it, haven't you? That this deceased loved one is now looking down on you and is very much aware of your life and that they will be there to protect you and to guide you and to be some kind of an invisible presence in your day-to-day living. As if the presence of Almighty God and His guiding and His protecting aren't enough for us. You know, really, I think about it. Would we really want to have our sainted loved ones witness our lives back here, our fallen, broken lives back here on this fallen world? I don't know. Seeing our struggles here, it seems, could only diminish the bliss of their life in the church triumphant. I'm not so sure I really want my parents and my grandparents to see my struggles here and my failures and my heartaches. That's the stuff that they've been given rest from. They're resting from all of that now. Why would we want them to be the witnesses of that again? The one who shepherds us through our trials and tribulations in this world is our Savior. But when the letter to the Hebrews refers to the saints triumphant as this great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, what it means is that their lives are a witness to us. They are not witnesses in the sense that they're watching what we're doing every day, but they are witnesses more like you would think of a courtroom witness. That's what the word really means. Their lives, their words, their deeds testify to us through the centuries, that there is more to this life than what meets the eye in this world. There is more to this life than the 60, 70, 80, 90 years that God gives you in this world. Their lives testify that they were looking beyond this temporary situation to a permanent city whose architect and builder is God. And they testify to us how to gain the victory in Christ, that we one day might join them in that permanent city. This is why we remember the saints triumphant. They are witnesses to us. Their lives testify to us how to live our lives and to run the race that is set before us and to run it with perseverance and to run it all the way to the victory. And in that sense, the saints really are with us. They are with us when their lives free us from the tyranny of thinking that we have to save ourselves. No saint of God ever achieved holiness as a homemade project. Not even the notable saints, the ones whose names we remember in history, even they didn't achieve holiness. How am I going to achieve it? But God covered them in holiness, just as He covered the shame of Adam and Eve with the skins of a sacrificed animal. We have been covered in the righteousness of Christ, with a righteousness that is not our own. It covers us over like a garment that is provided for us by the sacrificed Lamb of God. And He, we already sang it in one of our hymns this morning, He put that garment upon us in our baptism when we were baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The saints teach us to give up all pretension of self-righteousness and instead to flee like they did to the mercy of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the saints are with us when their lives encourage us to press on toward the goal. There is nothing quite like having a loved one with the Lord to encourage you on in your own faith and to anticipate that day when you see them again. As we run our race here, we struggle. Boy, do we struggle. You ever seen a marathon runner struggling to get to the finish line. That's a picture of our lives. We struggle with the sins that so easily entangle us, Hebrews says. We struggle with all the worries and the concerns, the schedules that distract us from more important things, all of the influences around us that hinder us and drag us down and seek to trip us up on our way to the kingdom. And we need encouragement. I love the way the Augsburg Confession says it. It says this, quote, "We teach that we are to remember the saints so that our faith may be strengthened when we see that they received grace and how their faith helped them." So I wish we had a dome. I go to that last slide now. I wish that we had a dome here, like at the Hodges Chapel, to remind us of that great cloud of witnesses every time we step into this room. Wouldn't it be magnificent? But maybe, well, I don't think we're going to be cutting the domes into our ceiling anytime soon. So maybe instead, we could start, we got all this ceiling space up here. Maybe we could start painting the images of the saints who leave us in this life and go on to the kingdom of God. Wouldn't that be something? And every time we step into this room, we look up and we remember the saints of God. We are reminded that that church, as the church militant, we look up at those images and we are reminded that they're waiting for us. And we are encouraged in that. And as those images look down upon us, we are reminded of the witness of their lives. And we are encouraged to run the race that is set before us with perseverance. And in Christ, never to grow weary, never to lose heart, never to give up. Dear saints in Christ, do you see that great cloud of witnesses? Open your eyes of faith. Do you see that great cloud of witnesses? Open up your ears. Do you hear that distant triumph song? Then let your heart be brave again. And let your heart and let your arm be strong. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus until at last we reach that permanent city, Jerusalem the golden, to be with the saints and the angels and with our Lord forever. Amen.